You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District bonus hour on this Friday. Hope you've had a good week. Thanks for spending part of it with us. Miller and Moulton, MillerandMoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Don't know how much we're going to get out of Mark this final hour. First off, he's been juggling three hats today. Co-host, executive producer, chief engineer. So he's tired, you know, plus, you know, getting the guests on and off the air. So, you know, that's number one. Number two, the Masters is on. It's in full swing, and he's got it on. So
I've had it on all morning. I think I've been pretty good for having it on. I've been able to give an update here or there, and I've not completely abandoned you.
Well, I think it helped that half the time last hour we had Pat Kerwin. And you wouldn't do that to Pat. You wouldn't come across as not paying attention to Pat. But since Pat was done at 8:30, you've watched a lot of golf. I'm not going to lie.
You were talking baseball, for crying out loud. I participated. I even know what the subject matter was on the show. I mean, give me a little bit of credit.
Come to think of it, you paid more attention to me last segment than you do during the starting five. And then I pay attention to you sometimes during the, you know, today was the day when.
Exactly.
So I probably owe you an apology. I do.
That's all right.
Give us a Masters update.
Max Homa just made a 3-inch putt for birdie after nearly jarring his second shot on 17. He is at 6 under. And they are finishing up round one. That's really about Hoggard got to 5, stayed at 5 of the players that were on the course. Max Homa's gotten to 6 under. Tiger is lurking around a makeable birdie putt on 17 to get his round back to 1 under on the day.
Okay. So Max Homa, a little 2 under on his morning so far, because he was 4 under through 13 and a couple of birdies.
And that's with parring the par 5 15th.
So I think that'd be cool. I'd love to see DeChambeau also doesn't have a great Masters record.
He's done well in a round one before. He's been the first round leader before and then ended up T29 the year he fired like a 65 or something like that in his first round. So let's see if he has any staying power after a great first round yesterday.
Did you see the story with DeChambeau again? He's playing clubs that are, you know, anyway, they're not the popular brands. They've been, you know, one's been out for like 6 months. You know, he reshaped his driver. I mean, once again, the mad scientist is back at work here. DeChambeau.
He is the perfect guy to be on the leaderboard and not win the Masters. Because I don't know of anybody that roots for Bryson DeChambeau.
And that was before he jumped to the LIV.
Right.
Right.
But he's enough of a name that people will watch and root against him.
Major champion, won the U.S. Open, Wingfoot 2020. So,
boy, and people thought he was going to win a lot of majors when he was just killing the ball, out driving everybody, playing that, just hit it, go find it, hit wedges up.
Well, yeah, I mean, he won a U.S. Open at Wingfoot that way, hit it as far as he could, and it didn't matter if it was in the rough. He just hit his wedges out of the tall stuff and made a bunch of birdies. I mean, he shot like 6 under or something to win at Wingfoot. At Wingfoot, 6 under. I mean, you've won the U.S. Open at Wingfoot at 7 over before. And DeChambeau just tore it up. And then he admitted he got a little big, got a little crazy, got lifted a little too much, trying to hit a little too far.
He did get puffy, to say the very least.
Is that how is that different from beefy?
Because it was in the face. I mean, he got fat in the face. David, you know you're not gentle in the face.
Right, I'm not.
But sometimes you and I are both puffy in the face.
Well, I'm fat in the face. I guess you must get puffy in the face. I'm fat in the face. Okay. See, I actually think there is a difference between beefy and puffy. Beefy is that step on your way to fat. Okay. In which you're saying, no, I'm not fat. Not fat. I'm beefy. Puffy has to do with, I don't know, you're actually into fitness, you work out, you just, but you know, now you're taking the Andro and you're, you know, the creatine and you know, you're, you know, you just, nah, man, I'm not taking the roids. I'm just taking everything else. That's what I think puffy is.
All right. Fair enough. Tiger with another par on 17 left his birdie putt a foot and a half short.
Wow.
And then knocked it in for his four as he heads to 18. Jason Day struggled a little bit after dunking one in the water on 16. He's two over par on his round today.
How about those pants yesterday from Jason Day? Huh? I thought he was like a late 80s, early 90s rapper. I mean, he had some room in those pants.
So I happened to be driving to dinner last night, and I was listening to Masters Radio. And they must have gone on about Jason Day's pants for 30 to 45 seconds, basically saying he had to step away from shots because the pants were flapping so loud and that the noise was bothering the two other players in the threesome.
I just figured he couldn't hit the shots because there was just so much wind in his trousers. I did. I thought he was... You know, I thought he was auditioning for a Run DMC remake. I did. I mean, he had some room in those trousers.
Yeah, MC Hammer called and said, can I have my pants back?
Yeah, said, hey, dude, man, I don't even wear those anymore. Come on now. That's all right. Then there was Sergio. What can Sergio do? I think his wife picked out his outfit. He's in love with his wife. He brought her to Augusta. I mean, what are you going to do? She lays it out on the bed there. What are you going to do? Honey, I can't. That's ugly. I mean, isn't that almost the equivalent of you look beefy in those jeans? I mean, can't tell the wife she picks the outfit out for you. Can't go, honey, that's ugly. I can't wear that.
Looked like he was playing for the A's yesterday.
Yes, I definitely thought he was a member of the 1974 Oakland A's. Find Reggie Jackson's uniform in the World Series and find Sergio's outfit yesterday, and you tell me the difference. Besides the big A and the apostrophe S, okay, on the lapel there. You tell me the difference. I'm so with you. I honestly, the Oregon Duck said, I'll be damned. Didn't know Sergio was a fan.
And Oregon, by the way, looked at the outfit and said, week three, I think we'll go for that.
Yeah. What
for our Big Ten opener against Northwestern.
Yeah. So, right, our Big Ten opener. That's funny. See, once again, these lines are going to be so good this year. So good. ACC, Big Ten. The Oklahoma-Texas stuff won't be funny. It'll just be making a point. You got Big 12 jokes. I mean, a lot of possibilities here.
It's going to be confusing, to say the very least, for the first couple of weeks of the college football season.
Well, especially since there's no divisions. It's like, well, what do you mean? We have 104 teams in the conference and the top two are going to play. Neither one of them played a common opponent. What the heck?
Makes absolutely no sense, but it is the reality of what college football will be this year.
It'll be fun. It will. At least that's our story right now. Who knows? Maybe it'll just be too ugly, too messy.
Are you fired up for college football this year because you're going to go see new venues? I mean, I would have to think you've been doing this for a long time. You were able to see the best conference, so there's part of me that would think you're a little bittersweet about not being at the best SEC game every week, but... You and I like venues. You and I like to see different places. You're going to see a bunch of new stadiums on Saturday, probably get to Iowa, which would be a cool scene to see the wave to the hospital at the end of the first quarter. I would guess you're going to get out west a few times, and Oregon's atmosphere is pretty damn good.
Husky Stadium is apparently beautiful with the mountains in the back. There's a date in October, Michigan at Washington, which looks like it's got our name on it. I can't wait. Everything you've said, I'm totally on board for. The only thing, 18 years, I was lucky enough, Gary's dragged me with him in the SEC. And so, and I'm not just saying this because it was our time in the conference. I really do believe 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, when they write books, they're going to look back and they're going to, they may start with Nick and LSU in 03. Okay. But I think they're going to start with Urban and Tebow in 06. And they're going to say that that next 17, 18 years was the golden age of SEC football. I really do think they're going to say that. And then, oh, by the way, Nick leaves at the same time that CBS has shown the door also. I would have liked to have had 1 year of Oklahoma, Texas. I'm not going to lie. Would have loved to have never been to Austin. I've been to Norman, haven't been to Austin. Would have loved to have done a Texas game. But you're right, Mark. I've never done a game from the Shoe. You know, I mean, been to the Big House, been to Beaver Stadium. But what you said, would love to see Kinnick. Okay, haven't been to Wisconsin in 30 years. 94.
Camp Randall's such a great place to see a football game.
And I haven't been in 30 years. You know, yeah, I'm actually very excited. And like you mentioned, you know, Oregon, Washington, it'll be strange as heck that this will be a Big Ten conference game. But I so hope we get at least one of each.
Oh, I'm guessing you will.
Now, the weird thing is I've done NFL in the L.A. Coliseum. I've never done USC in the L.A. Coliseum.
So now you get to do the important team.
Right.
In the Coliseum. The one that they care about.
Exactly. The one with more people at the games. Better atmosphere. Correct.
That was one yesterday. We're talking about what team could get up and move. Someone did text the L.A. Chargers. And no one would know. For an NFL team, that's a very factual statement.
If they had hired the football equivalent of Mark Pope, like Kentucky just did for men's basketball, that franchise could get up and leave. I think we're all kind of curious how the next 3 to 4 years are going to go with Harbaugh.
We are, but are they in L.A.? That's the ultimate question. I mean, because, yes, as NFL fans, we are. I just don't know if they are, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know if they are either. But, you know, what if LeBron leaves the Lakers, the Chargers have a chance. They do. So apparently Spieth just made a 9 on 15.
A 9. He can make travel plans to head home.
Yeah, I think so. Later today. Yeah. Former champion, too. He's got a great record there. Not 2024. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when. Some final thoughts. 25 minutes away. I'm Miller and Moulton.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
Good, bad, and ugly, what's on tap? Today was the day when. Some final thoughts. A pick or two, and maybe in honor of Trent, who's off today. He'll be back Monday. Should we sprinkle a bet?
Boy, I got so many Masters bets out there. I don't know how much money I got left in the account.
Well, I don't know. Did you place any money on Max Homa? Do we sprinkle Homa now?
Wow.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm just wondering. That's if you want to sprinkle a Masters bet. Do we sprinkle DeChambeau and Homa? It's tough picking against Scheffler.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would love to see Max Homa hang around all week. But given his past playing at Augusta, I'll be fascinated to see what he can do just today.
So Homa, if you're just joining us, 6 under through 17. He's in a greenside bunker to the right of 18. Tiger, what, even through 17 as they wrap up their first round?
Even through 17, all three players missed the green. Jason Day short of the bunker, both Homa and Tiger in the bunker on 18, trying to get up and down to finish their round today.
See, that's the other reason why you wonder, is anybody else going to win this thing besides Scheffler? You know, Scheffler did his damage on the back nine yesterday, but he did it in the afternoon. when it was pretty windy. You know, not a ton of guys were making birdies on the back nine yesterday. And Scheffler's like, yeah, no problem here. What do you want, 31, 32? I can do that. You know, even Rory after the round said, there's nobody as efficient as him right now. He said, there's no way anybody plays as many bogey-free rounds as Scheffler, is what he said. He goes, at the end of the day, I'm like, oh my goodness, that's six under. Huh.
Made it look very easy. Didn't do anything particularly special. I mean, outside of the back-to-back birdies on 12 and 13 were ridiculous.
Yeah, they were. I mean, you know, he's in the back bunker on 12. I mean, three is a good score. He makes two. Come on. Then he knocks it in a raised creek on 13. I mean, heck, if he can just play this out and make five, this will be good. Yeah, he knocks it tight and makes it.
And hit it to like 12 inches, too. I mean, didn't even, nearly hold it.
Right. Even Scheffler could make that putt with his putting woes. Right. I mean, Scott Hoke would have made that putt back in the day. Too soon? It's only 35 years. Too soon? No? By the way, how do you live with that? I mean, because he didn't win a major. That was it. Any major. I mean, you've got a no more than 2 feet to win the Masters. And you missed the hole. He had 3.5 feet coming back. I mean, that's a tough one to live with. Talk about tough losses. How do you keep playing golf after missing a 2-footer to win the Masters?
Both Tiger and Homa didn't do anything special out of the trap for what it's worth. Tiger's got about 12 feet for his par. Homa's got about 8.
Now, I will say, you know, if Tiger makes bogey and shoots 73, I mean, the cut line right now is right around 1-2 over. So, you know, in theory, Tiger has to go out later this morning and in the afternoon. And, you know, he can probably shoot a 73, but I don't think he can shoot worse than that.
The irony is he's hit the ball off the tee really well and really struggled with his wedges. I mean, shorter irons. He had a short iron on 14, fatted it. Had a wedge in his hand on 15, hit it long. Just missed with probably an 8-iron on 18. That's what I would guess from 170 that he's hitting because it was uphill.
He's hitting the ball a long way. I mean, yesterday, and I understand the wind, it could beat your back and all that, but, I mean, we've both been there, and one is long. One plays long. He hit 3-wood 8-iron into one yesterday. Man.
Tiger will be fine if he plays the par fives decent. He was just 1 under on the par fives today. And was punching out on one of the par fives just to get, I think on 8 he had to punch out just to get a shot to the green.
Scheffler yesterday birdied 3 of the 4 par fives. Thank you very much. And oftentimes you look back, like Rahm last year, he won it at 12 under and he won by 4. 8 of the 12 under was par fives. I mean, guys have won this tournament by basically doing all their birdieing and eagles on the par fives and playing the rest of the course 2 under.
Well, even when Zach Johnson won it, he was terrific on the par fives and never went for one of the par fives.
Right.
Laid up on all of them and had ridiculous numbers on him because his wedge game was so good that year.
That was also the year that it was cold. Course played hard. You know, Zach won at like what, even 1 over, something like that. I mean, that was a strange year. But good looking leaderboard though right now. I mean, DeChambeau, Scheffler, Homa. All right, cool. Tiger and Phil right now in contention to make the cut. Great. Let's go. Haven't heard anything about Koepka today. He was even through 11 when he resumed his round.
The last time they showed him, he was 2 over.
Ooh.
So he's gone the other way. They just showed him hit a bunker shot close, but he is 2 over through 17. He's got to play the 18th as well. He's in the group behind Tiger.
Not good. And I'm telling you, if it was just DeChambeau and Homa at the top of the leaderboard, but once Scheffler posted 66, I'm sorry, you're like, oh, blank. Because at the very least, you're thinking, well, he ain't going to go backwards, right? I mean, come on. So you're going to play the next three rounds over par?
No. Will he play a round of the next three over par?
I don't know. He's only played like one round this year on tour, not under par, and that was because he missed a short putt on 18, or else he would have had been under par in that round. So that's the other thing. I mean, that's why Scheffler posting the 66. You're like, oh, man, he puts 370s on top of that. That's 12 under.
Tiger missed his par putt, so he will shoot one over 73 for his opening round. Two over coming back on the course this morning. So not what Tiger was hoping for with a par five among the holes that he played this morning. You figured Tiger might get out even, hopefully one under on those five holes, but not so much.
Unless you do the streaming, are you going to see any Tiger today? Because they tee back off here in like 30 minutes, don't you?
No, we won't. He won't make ESPN today.
Yeah.
But the amateur's always a fun story. One of the amateurs, Neil Shipley, started out with a couple of birdies this morning. He's got it to 3 under on his second round. Ooh. Always fun to see an amateur in red numbers. Just to see who they play with on Saturday and how badly they fall apart if they can make the cut.
Listen, I just think it's cool if any of them make the cut.
I'm with you. Homa also missed his par putt. He just knocked in his bogey. So Max Homa, after a couple of birdies down the stretch, bogeying the 18th, 67, 5 under for Homa in the first round.
All right. And apparently Fleetwood making a little bit of noise today, right?
Playing a little, I think he was 2 under was where he was at.
Okay.
So that's a little rundown at Augusta.
Still looking for his first win in the States. Fleetwood. Ryder Cup legend already. Shot 63 at a U.S. Open. Finished second by one on Sunday. Also that 63. At Shinnecock, of all places. But still looking for his first win in the States. And first major. He's a guy, by the way, who's been associated with that, you know, three-letter tour, you know. When they were in Vegas, he actually, like, showed up and watched a day, and he said, no, I'm just hanging with the guys. Got nothing to do. Okay. All right. Miller and Moulton. Good, bad, and ugly. What's on tap? Today was the day when. A couple of thoughts, a sprinkle. It's all next.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes before the hour, 16 until we're out of here. It is the Friday edition of Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Trent will be back on Monday. Got a lot on your plate today. You ready?
As ready as I'm going to be. I got to make sure I can hit the buttons and I got the right things on.
All right.
Weekday morning at this time on Miller and Moulton.
That's the wrong one.
Okay.
It's time for something. That's the right one. This segment, if for no other reason.
Son of a gun.
To stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
So, officially, in terms of hitting buttons, if you were a hockey team, you went 0-1-1 to start the show, correct?
Yeah.
And you just went 1-1 there. So you're 1-2-1 today.
Not going to make the playoffs that way, David.
No, you're not. But then again, I think you were in really good playoff position before today. So I think you're going to get in. It may just hurt your seeding.
We start in 1861 today. Fort Sumter was attacked by the Confederates starting the Civil War. Kind of a biggie.
They were really serious about this, weren't they?
1877, the first catcher's mask was used in a game. 1945, FDR dies in office, Truman sworn in as president. 54, Sam Snead wins his third and final Masters, beating Hogan in a playoff. Today in 1955, the polio vaccine was approved.
That was a biggie.
It was. Today in 61, Douglas MacArthur says no to being the commissioner of baseball.
Well, you have to admit, what else were you doing? What? You were done.
He was retired. It's called retirement.
Yeah, but I mean, how hard is the commissioner of baseball job, particularly in 61?
64, Arnie wins his fourth, beating Jack by six.
His final major, I believe. It was definitely his final Masters. I believe it's his final major. No. He won the 66 U.S. Open. My bad.
Watson won his second Masters today in 81. Today in 87, Larry Mize chips in to win the Masters.
Oof, that's a tough beat. That was a tough beat. Year after, he bogeyed 18, so Jack won. All right, he's on the green. Long putt for birdie, and Mize is 10 yards to the right of the green, and you figure, hell, four is a good score.
Right. Freddie gets his today in 92. Marco Mira gets his in 98. Angel Cabrera gets his in 2009. And Jordan Spieth wins the Masters today in 2015.
You know, there's some controversy about Angel Cabrera there because he got out of jail. And you know how the Masters are. I mean, if you're a former champion.
Right.
There's nothing that outweighs that. But the story that came from Augusta was that he couldn't make it. He had visa problems. Apparently, somebody tracked down Cabrera, and Cabrera said, I don't have any visa problems. So, the thinking now is that maybe Augusta said, yeah, you've only been out of jail a few months, and you went for domestic battery, so why don't you just stay home? We're good.
David Letterman is 77 years old today.
And his beard is like 20.
Vince Gill is 67. Lorenzo White's 58. Shannon Doherty's 53. Claire Danes is 45. Sorry, I had a moment for Claire Danes there.
Okay.
Ted Ginn Jr.'s 39 and Brooklyn Decker's 37. What did I miss, David?
I don't think you missed anything. You know, the two I had, it was the Civil War and FDR. So you're all over it. See, it's a big win. That was an overtime win for you right there.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
You can own Beer Can Island. A small Florida key known as Beer Can Island is for sale. And someone is suggesting that they should partner at $1,000 a piece to buy the island. The retail price for the island is $14 million, but someone is trying to get partners so that people can keep drinking on what is now known as Beer Can Island.
Okay.
I'd love to own an island.
Would you allow anyone else on it, though?
Yeah, sure.
I don't mean to visit. I mean, like, would you actually allow someone else to build on your island?
No. It's my island.
I understand, but there's many an island in which there's more than one house.
Right. That's because multiple people own lots on said island. I'm not buying more. I just want a small island for me and the family. Maybe a par three course.
No youth soccer, though, is what I hear on your island. No youth soccer allowed.
Tell you what, we'd start earlier than we start with youth softball. That's all I know. 7:30 practice on a Friday night. What are they thinking? We go to Seminole, Florida for the bad, where a 49-year-old Seminole woman told deputies she didn't realize she was driving around on three tires Monday. Multiple 911 calls were made that a dark gray Nissan was driving recklessly with no passenger side front tire. When they pulled her over to conduct a traffic stop, you'll never believe this, David, but they smelled alcohol.
What?
She admitted to drinking but told deputies she was unaware that the tire was missing.
Right.
She blew a .16. That's drunk, but that's not. That's pretty drunk. That's pretty
twice
drunk.
That's the legal limit.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's a little hooked on phonics. A little bit.
Finally, the ugly. On a flight from Auckland, New Zealand to Sydney, Australia, a man has been fined for urinating in a cup during a delay in deplaning after landing at the Sydney airport. They'd been on the tarmac for about 20 minutes for the plane to be able to be departed, and a woman heard a man using a cup to go number one. He was fined $600 Australian for the offensive behavior. You gotta go. Better than going all over the floor, he went in a cup. That is the good, the bad, and the ugly. On today, April the 12th, 2024.
You've heard.
So we've got, obviously, the Masters all day into the early evening. 3 o'clock on the four-letter network. Between now and then, you got Masters.com, Paramount, the Masters app. You know, go
ESPN
crazy.
Plus is giving you all the other views, too. So that's all a good source for you.
And then at 3 o'clock, it's on the four-letter network. So and then you got to use the, you know, you want featured groups and all that. You got to go elsewhere. So this is a rarity. Major League Baseball and the NBA, everyone is in action tonight. In fact, the NBA has 3 days left in the regular season, but they're only playing on two of them. Everybody's playing tonight. And everybody's playing Sunday afternoon. No games tomorrow. So everybody has two games left. Tonight, Sunday. That's it. The Heat, I believe, host Toronto in both games. Now, I don't know if the Heat can improve their playoff positioning, but they should get two wins. Meanwhile, Orlando finishes at Philly and home for Milwaukee.
They are just a game ahead of the Sixers, tied with Indiana right now. The 5-6 teams are tied, but just a game ahead of the Sixers to avoid the play-in.
And if by chance you're one of the 11 Magic fans listening, you want Milwaukee to win tonight so that Milwaukee has nothing to play for Sunday and completely mails it in. Because Orlando desperately wants to avoid the play-in. It's going to be tough. Orlando could still get home court in the first round, but they've fallen a game behind Cleveland even for that. They at least want to play Cleveland in a 4-5. But
Cleveland in a 4-5 or the Knicks in a 6-3?
Well, Orlando is last year's Cleveland. You know, Cleveland, young group.
No, I know.
Had a nice season together and then went to the playoffs and kind of got an education as to what playoff basketball is all about by the Knicks. More veteran team with a veteran coach. And that's why I was hoping Orlando was going to be the 3 or the 2. But if they were the 3, right now they'd play Indiana. That's kind of what I was hoping for Orlando. Everybody wants to play the Pacers. That's kind of like the NCAA tournament bracket. Everybody wants to play so-and-so, like everybody wanted to play NC State this year. How'd that work out?
And I just say the Knicks because they're banged up, David. That's really the only reason that...
They are. They've gotten everybody back but Randall, and they're not going to have Randall. They've got Robinson back. They got Anobi there back, and Brunson's playing. I will say this, and you and I don't care, but in the NBA, they care about this. I will say this year, the NBA MVP vote, most people surrendered it a month ago to Jokic. All right. First off, Anthony Edwards with the T-Wolves. Jalen Brunson with the Knicks. Have you seen the year Luka Doncic has put on the board. All right, I'm just going to throw this out at you. Luka Doncic, now they've won 50 games. He's first in points in the league. He's going to win the scoring title. He's averaging 34 a game. He's second in the league in assists. He's had a 73-point game, fourth highest in league history. Mark, his stats, 34 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists a game. For the season, 34, 9, and 10. He's damn near averaging a 34-point-a-game triple-double. Are we sure that's not MVP worthy?
Worthy, I'm sure it is, but he's not going to get it because, like you said, this sucker's been done for a month.
It has.
And the people that I listen to who vote aren't talking the way you are.
Whew. And not only that, the Mavs are on a roll. The Mavs are like 15-3 in their last 18. I mean, they're hot. Listen, you and I don't care about this. Most fans, although NBA fans really do.
NBA fans care about the MVP. They do.
I mean, Anthony Edwards has carried the T-Wolves. I mean, they've played like 17 games without Karl Anthony Towns here. They're 13-4. Anthony Edwards scored 51 the other night. I mean, Anthony Edwards has become a star in that league this year. This is Luka Doncic, 34, 9, and 10 for the season. I don't know, man. Are you sure you're putting somebody first over him?
I mean, the odds are staggeringly ahead for Jokic over Doncic.
Mm-hmm. And once again, not saying, you know, this is like Michael didn't win the MVP every year. Barkley won it 1 year. Malone won it 1 year. We all knew who the best player in the league was. But they didn't give him MVP every year. There's a couple of guys, listen, this is not my Knicks bias, but Jalen Brunson should finish in the top five. Anthony Edwards should finish in the top three. I don't know if you can vote for anybody over Luka. I'll be honest with you. Jokic had a great year and all, but 34, 9, and 10.
I think the fact that they're on a heater right now helps his cause more than anything, because before that heater, David, they were near a play-in team.
Yes.
And so it's difficult to vote for an MVP when the team is not having great success, because they've turned this into a most valuable player on the best team award.
So anyway. NHL, there's only 5 games tonight. A few of them have playoff ramifications. Carolina at St. Louis, Minnesota at Vegas. St. Louis and Vegas battling for the last playoff spot. Carolina trying to chase down the Rangers. They can get within a point of them with a win tonight.
David, I'll re-ask you our poll question from the other day. Scheffler, an LIV golfer, or the field? Where do you go now?
Yeah, I voted for the field.
Right, I did too. That was the wrong vote. Scottie Scheffler was the right vote.
I think you're right. By the way, Rays hosting the Giants, Marlins hosting the Braves this weekend.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back on Monday.